What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the Fast and Furious season here on Cinematic Reviews. I'm your host, Chris, and this is a show about all things movie and TV. Every week, I break down and review the newest releases, beloved franchises like Fast and Furious, and even upcoming projects. You can support the show by hitting that follow button on your favorite podcast network, as well as following the show on all social media platforms. All of those handles can be found on either the Cinematic Reviews Facebook page or the show's website at podpage.com/cinematicreviews. It helps out a lot, and I appreciate all the love and support out there from everyone. I don't care if you're sick as a dog or in bed with Beyonce. I call, you show. The Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift is speeding your way.
Ready. Set up.
Go!
Called drifting.
What do you mean, drift?
The cars are lighter. The tires are slick. When you drift, if you ain't out of control, you ain't in control.
Still need a dictionary?
On the other side of the world, on the wrong side of the law, a new style of racing rules the Tokyo underground.
How you guys get away with this?
And all the best drivers want in.
Who's a tourist?
Let's see what the kid's got.
And let's race.
But when you live on the edge, anything can happen.
You came to the wrong place.
Now, in a place where life moves this fast.
That's a lot of money.
Are you moving up in the world?
You gotta elevate your company.
The bigger the risk, the greater the rush.
Stay away from them.
All my life, people have told me I don't fit in. Maybe I've just been in the wrong place.
Life's simple. Make choices. Don't look back.
The Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift.
Tokyo Drift was released on June 16th, 2006. The film stars Lucas Black as Sean, Shad Moss, aka Bow Wow, as Twinkie, Brian T as DK, Natalie Kelly as Neela, and Sung Kang as Han. The film was directed by Justin Lin, who is best known for Star Trek Beyond, Fast and Furious, Fast and Furious 6, and F9, The Fast Saga. The film grossed $158 million worldwide against a $85 million budget, making it the lowest grossing film in the series. Over 100 cars were destroyed or wrecked during filming. Every drifting sequence in the film was performed by professional drivers. The Mitsubishi Lancer, Evo 8, and two of the Nissan R32s were converted from all-wheel drive to rear-wheel drive so that they could drift properly in the film. Channing Tatum auditioned for a role in the film. I was not able to find a confirmation on which role that is, but my guess would be the Sean character in the film. The film was released in Japan with the title Wild Speed 3. And then it was the first Fast and Furious film not to be released on VHS. Originally, the film was titled The Fast and the Furious 3, but Justin Lin changed it to The Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift because the film is well set in Japan. The film actually takes place in 2013, which means that it takes place during Furious 7. And then when we get to that episode in the season, I will talk a little bit more about that. But the timeline is a little bit kind of all over the place with the death of Han in this film and then seeing him in Fast and Furious 4, which I'll talk about next week. So technically we should be watching this film either before or during or after Furious 7. I thought about doing it timeline wise for the season, but I figured it would just be easier for you guys out there listening to this to just go by release date. But I do tend to watch this series by timeline on occasion, and it's really interesting to do. I highly suggest that you give it a shot. And then lastly, the DK character is actually based on the real life DK, Kichi Tsukiya. I probably butchered that name. He is a professional race car driver known as Drift King. He actually plays one of the fishermen during that practice montage with Sean in the film. So that was really cool to see him in there. So Tokyo Drift was kind of the oddball of the franchise back in 2006. It introduced characters we had never seen before in the two previous films. It was the film that took the franchise internationally for the first time, and it focused on drifting. No other film in the franchise that I can think of ever focused on like a single technique of driving as the core element of the plot. Today, it's just another installment. It actually holds a lot of weight now that we have Furious 7. Tokyo Drift, like I said, actually takes place kind of in the middle of Furious 7. If you haven't seen that film, you know what I'm talking. If you have seen it, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, I'll talk about that more during the Furious 7 episode later on and kind of the connection that it makes with this film. On today's episode, I want to try to just focus strictly on Tokyo Drift. In this installment, we're introduced to the Sean Boswell character, who's played by Lucas Black. The only other two films I remember seeing him in are Jarhead and Legion. He was all right in both of those. He played more of a supporting role in those films, which I think is where his strength is. He's not an actor I would entrust to be the face of a film, honestly. He's just not that great of an actor. He's especially not great in Tokyo Drift. I actually think he's the weakest part of this film, unfortunately. So Sean is sent over to Tokyo to live with his father, who is in the Navy, I believe, in order to avoid jail time, essentially, which doesn't really hold up now. The U.S. is kind of like, here you go, Japan. Here's a 17-year-old white boy that likes to get arrested for racing. He's your problem now. Not a great plot point, if you ask me. The script is pretty weak, which isn't saying a whole lot because these newer installments of the franchise are kind of in the similar boat. They trade in a good plot for just crazy-ass stunts. Tokyo Drift does the exact same thing. What keeps me entertained throughout the film, though, is the drifting and seeing Han on screen. Han is, of course, played by Sung Kang. He becomes a huge part of future installments, beginning with Fast 5. He shows up in Fast and Furious, but it's only really for that beginning sequence of the film. And I'll dive deeper into him, into that sequence on next week's episode. But for this week's episode, he does play a huge part in Tokyo Drift, even though this is technically later on in the timeline. This is after he has gone through the events of Fast 5, Fast 6, and then the first part of Furious 7. So we're really seeing the future Han. And then with the fourth Fast and Furious, we kind of jump back in time to see how he kind of first met Dom and what he kind of experienced as part of the Toretto gang. Over in Tokyo, Sean ends up getting sucked into the world of drifting and meets the rest of the cast. We have Twinkie, who's played by Bow Wow, Neela, played by Natalie Kelly, and, like I said, Han, of course. Han is basically the piggy bank of the races over in Tokyo. He provides the cars, the locations, and the shop for tune-ups. Sean ends up pissing off the wrong guy, and the wrong guy is DK, aka Drift King. I believe DK's actual name is Takeshi Kamada. His uncle is the leader of the Yakuza. You may have heard of the Yakuza from other films or even in real life. The Yakuza is an actual organization still active in Japan. Anyways, this beef between Sean and DK is all over the Neela character. This leads to Han recruiting and teaching Sean in order to... he teaches him drifting in order to take down DK in the film. The funny thing is, though, is that Han and DK are actually business partners. Turns out Han is stealing money from DK. So Han helping Sean makes a lot of sense. Plus, DK is a real douchebag, so he kind of deserves it, honestly. I mean, the guy is in a relationship with a 17-year-old girl. I couldn't find DK's exact age, but he's obviously in his lower to mid-20s. So it's definitely illegal to be dating a 17-year-old, if you ask me. Han, I believe, is around 30. I'll talk a little bit more about this whole thing in the negative segment for today's episode. But this always stands out to me as a major, major flaw of the film. Now, Shade Moss, or Little Bow Wow, as I grew up knowing him, is someone I'm pretty familiar with. He was in a lot of different films and shows when I was growing up. Big Mama's House, Like Mike, Smallville, Entourage, and of course Tokyo Drift was another big one. He's probably most well known for his rapping career, though. He actually got his nickname Little Bow Wow from Snoop Dogg, I believe. I really like the Twinkie character in this film. He's probably my favorite character. Twinkie has the hookup, essentially, for everything in Tokyo, from Snickers to iPods to even the newest Jordans. He's a businessman and a pretty good one, actually. I think Bow Wow is really great in this film. He actually shows up again in F9 along with Lucas Black, which is really, really awesome. But yeah, I always have fun rewatching this installment of the franchise. Yeah, I have a lot of issues with it, of course, but it's still really, really entertaining, thanks to all the racing and the stunts and, of course, Bow Wow and Han. The plot is pretty basic, but honestly, if you really dissect this franchise as a whole, all these installments have a really basic plot. You don't watch this franchise for the plot, though. I mean, honestly, you watch it for the stunts and the characters. Most of the characters actually work in this film. I just have some real issues with the Sean and DK characters, mostly just Lucas Black, if I'm really, really being honest. He's, like I said, he's the weakest part of this film. And if I could go back and change anything from this film, it would be the recast the Sean character. That's why I'm kind of thinking maybe Channing Tatum was approached for this role. I think Channing Tatum is by far a better actor than Lucas Black, even though I'm not a huge Channing Tatum fan. I'm just talking from strictly an acting power. I think he would have been a lot better if that was the role. I mean, he could have been just a supporting character for all we know. I was not able to find out what audition he was going for. But yeah, it's Lucas Black is really the big negative for this. And I'll dive more into that in the negative segment later on. Anyways, though, I'm still really, really excited to break down Tokyo Drift. It's one of the films that I grew up watching all the time. I probably rewatched this one actually more than Too Fast, Too Furious and the original Fast and Furious film, which is surprising because I think it's the weakest of those three films, of course, but still really fun to watch. So let's take a quick break before diving into today's standout scenes. Check out new release reactions every week on the show. This is where I react and break down the latest releases either in theaters or on streaming. Next up, I'll be diving into the world of Christopher Nolan with his newest film, Oppenheimer. That episode should be dropping on Monday, so give that a listen if you are able to see the film this weekend. In the meantime, you can check out the rest of the new release reactions library. You can find all 70 plus episodes on your favorite podcast network today. Just search for Cinemac Reviews. So the first scene I have written down is the race through the construction site. This is at the very first sequence of the film. We get the Sean character going up against Zachary Ty Bryan from Home Improvement. I believe his character's name is Clay in here. Essentially, Sean is kind of hitting on Zachary Ty Bryan's girlfriend. This kind of sparks this kind of fight in the parking lot of the school. And then she suggests that, hey, why don't you race for me? So they go to this construction site, which it looks like they're building some kind of neighborhood. They got kind of half-assed built houses going around. Zachary Bryan is in this really, really nice red, I think it was a Corvette, or I think it might have been a Ferrari, actually. And then Sean, of course, is in kind of this little beater sedan of his. We get this crazy race through these constructions. Really, really cool. You got Sean at one point going through one of the houses. That was really cool how they were able to pull that off. He gets launched into the air at one point. All this was done practically, from what I understand, or at least for the most part. Yeah, just a really crazy way to kick off this this film with this really cool race between these two teenagers through the construction site. This eventually ends up Sean in some really, really hot water. with the police. And so this kind of is the this is kind of like the last straw that broke the camel's back, which ties his mom's hands and says that you have to go to Tokyo to be with your father and to try to straighten out. So really cool race to kick off the bat there. Next scene I have, we jump forward a little bit to Twinkie showing off his ride to Sean. Turns out Twinkie must really love the Incredible Hulk because he tricked out his van to look like the Incredible Hulk. You know, you got the fist in the back door of the van. You have the kind of like the big hair coming out of the top of the windshield. You got the giant Hulk face on the hood of the car. He's got fists going around the car as well. It's all green. It's got the purple interior. Really, really cool looking car. Yeah, I just thought I love how the parking lot is too. Gotta hand it to the Japanese. Really, really inventive and intuitive with these. So they kind of like bring the cars up into a conveyor belt, and they kind of like drives itself out backwards that you can, and then it spins, rotates it around on this like turntable thing. Back in 2006, this was pretty, pretty cool. Nowadays, this is kind of the new normal for us. But back in 06, you know, growing up as like a 10, 11-year-old kid, when I watched this for the first time, it was just really cool to see not just, you know, the Hulk on, you know, as the face of a van, but just this really cool parking lot thing that's kind of like really robotic and really futuristic. It was really cool. Then we go to Sean racing DK for the first time. This is where he is introduced to the world of drifting. Han ends up giving his car over to Sean so that he can race DK. This beautiful orange and blue car. Twinkie calls it the Mona Lisa of cars in Tokyo. And he's right. This is a beautiful looking car. Unfortunately, Sean ends up just destroying this thing to bits by the end of the race because he has no idea how to drift. Twinkie kind of gives him this, you know, 5-second tutorial on how to drift. You know, you gotta crank up the e-brake, you gotta pow over. It's just, I honestly have very little experience with drifting. It looks very complicated, but I'm sure it's not as complicated as it looks. It looks really fun though. I would love to be in one of these races, honestly. It was really cool with the underground structure. You got these tight turns. At one point, we have this slow-mo shot of DK kind of drifting off one of the, I think it was probably the first turn, if not the second turn. And he's just barely gracing by. You get just one like centimeter closer and he would have smashed into the wall. That's what Sean does, of course. He smashes into everything, walls, other cars, almost people at one point, but DK just makes this look so easy. And it's really, really cool how they shot this with, you know, the nice, beautiful drifting around these tight corners. At the end, we get DK going up with one of those exit ramps in the parking structure. It's really, really tight fit, but it's just like butter. He just goes right up in there. It's really smooth. And then, of course, you have Sean coming in at the end, just crashing into every wall in sight. And the thing is just demolished. But it was a really, really awesome race. Very entertaining, very intense. You get to really see the gracefulness and the beautiful technique of drifting. And probably one of my favorite aspects of driving, for sure. Then we have Sean practicing his drifting in the new car from Han. He's got this sweet, I should have looked up the name of this car, but it's this really, really nice red car that he loans him as kind of a investment in Sean and becoming a part of his crew. We get Sean practicing his drifting in there. They go up to the mountains and he's still trying to get the hang of all this drifting. We get that really funny shot of Han just going next, again. Eventually Sean gets the hang of it, but it's really nice to get a couple of montages in this film because I am a sucker for montages. I love when we have a good montage, and I think the montages are really, really good in here. They don't overstay their welcome. They're pretty quick. We get to have a lot of fun with them. We get to see people's reactions. We get to see the two fishermen. One of them, of course, like I said, was the actual DK in real life. They're kind of shit-talking back and forth about Sean's technique. Eventually, he gets it, and we get that smirk on his face. He's like, not bad, not bad. So these montages are actually really, really fun. They're probably one of my favorite parts in the film. Of course, the racing is still my favorite, but we got to have these practice montages before we can really enjoy the races. So then we get Han drifting around the two women. It's a really, really quick scene, but I love watching this because you get to really see how not only how Han, you know, flirts with women, but also that he's a very, very skilled driver. You know, this is, even though this is technically in the future, this is the first time we're seeing Han behind a car. Eventually we will see him drive more cars, but we really get to see his strength in here. And of course, this is for any advice out there to any of the guys out there who are listening to this episode. Drift around circles, and that's a good way to flirt, I guess, according to this film. But yeah, it's really, really awesome seeing how they were able to shot that. Just a really cool aerial shot of them doing probably 6 or 7 circles around them, and then Han ends up getting her. Well, at first he stops and they kind of do the stare down with the two ladies, and we get the motion of the one clicking the pen and writing down her number, I assume. Han picks it up and they're off. But yeah, it's really, really short, cool sequence. Then we get another practice montage, but this time we get Han in the car as he is really teaching Sean how to drift and handle all this racing. Again, love the montages in here. Really, really fun sequence. Then we jump over to Sean's first win after doing all this practicing with Han. It's against DK's buddy. I don't remember what his name is. He's the one that is kind of the school bully when it comes to Twinkie. I'd have to look up his name, but they don't really say a lot of these supporting actor names. Yeah, I'm not sure what his name is, but he's the guy that ends up in that school fight with Twinkie in the one scene where he's claiming that the iPad was busted when Twinkie sold him it, but he's in fact just busted it because he wants his money back. Either way, this was a fitting first race for Sean, being able to beat that guy. Really, really awesome to see Sean finally grasped the concept of drifting and win his first race. It was a really cool moment. Then we skip over a little bit to the next scene I have, and that is Sean and Neela's quote-unquote first date. I technically consider it their first date. I don't know if it was officially their first date because Neela is technically kind of still with DK. But I consider this the first date. You know, they go out to dinner. For any of those who don't know, Japan is really notorious for serving their food in these little compartments. You know, you have these little boxes, kind of like a cafeteria almost, in all these restaurants. But they kind of come in through these little compartments that, you know, you pay money and you open the door and there's your meal right there all ready to go. So that's what they do. And then they eventually, you know, Neela shows off her skills with drifting and driving. So they kind of do like a night drive up to the mountains. It's really, really nice sequence to see these two characters kind of bonding and falling in love and you know, going on their first date, because the first date is always so special. So it was really cool to see that, even though still not fully on board with Lucas Black as an actor, but just the concept of these two characters on the first date is really, really nice. Nice kind of break from the chaos of racing. We get to see two characters actually bond together on screen, so it was really cool. Then we get to the big sequence here. This is where Han dies during the chase sequence with DK. If I could keep bringing up, Furious 7 actually goes into this deeper. They kind of retcon this a bit in Furious 7. And I'll talk about that a lot more in that episode. But for now, we're kind of living in the world of 2006. So at this time, we had no idea who killed him at first. For all we know, it was just an accident. It was a traffic collision during this race, and Han dies. Eventually, that is not the case. You know, Fast 9 kind of retcons some stuff too. But for right now, we're going to live in 2006 for today's episode. Han is dead. Really, really surprising watching this as a kid. But now with all these future movies out, it kind of kind of ruins it a bit, honestly, because we know what happens after this. But back when I was watching this as a kid, you know, before we had, you know, Furious 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, we were under the impression that Han was dead, like dead, which we've only had a couple of characters die in this franchise. So it's really, really big moment when we do get a character death, like Jesse in the first one. That was a really big moment, you know, like they killed a core member of the gang. And then here we have Han, who is kind of the Toretto in Tokyo, and he dies during a race. Really, really intense sequence. Really cool driving, though. I love how they're driving through like downtown Tokyo. You got DK shooting his gun at Han while they're dodging other cars, they're dodging pedestrians. We get that awesome shot of like downtown Tokyo, where it's in all the movies, it's in all the pictures of Tokyo, where it's just a sea of people in the middle of this road. Sean's coming in like a bullet. He's honking his horn, and the people just like part like the Red Sea, and he's drifting. And it's really cool how they shot this, like from the aerial, where he's like, you can see it too if you really look closely. Like he's the professional driver that's actually drifting this is coming in at the right speed and time to where you can see the different people splitting off as he's approaching them. It was one of my favorite shots of the entire franchise. I'm kind of stepping on this a little bit, but it is my favorite stunt of the film. Sean driving through that sea of people in downtown Tokyo is really, really awesome how they shot that. And then, unfortunately, Han gets demolished, basically T-boned by another car and explodes from all the fire and the gasoline and all that stuff. So Han, fortunately, passes away. Then we jump over to the montage of Sean and the crew rebuilding his dad's Mustang. Awesome sequence here. The Mustang is my favorite car. I love this 67 Mustang Fastback that they have. Beautiful, beautiful car. They put in a lot of work to rebuild this thing. They put the engine from the car that Sean wrecked in the first race into that car. They detail it. They give it new tires, new interior. Really, really awesome. Really showing you how you essentially build a car. It's really, really cool. I grew up with my grandpa. He built race cars. He worked on cars his whole life. I occasionally was in the shop with him, watching him, you know, do tune-ups, replace parts. So this was brought back some memories for me, you know, growing up in the world of, you know, race cars and car building. So that's really cool to get a scene like this all these years later. Then we get to the big race. This is DK and Sean racing down the mountain, as they call it. This is DK's mountain. He's the only one to make it down alive. Really, really tight, fast turns down this mountain. It's a night sequence, so I thought that was an interesting choice. We have people with... That's another thing I haven't really brought up. The technology of this film in 06, we have the cell phones, you know, they got their video camera on and they're tracking every turn. Very, very early 2000. You know, nowadays we'd have these really high-tech iPhones, post them up on YouTube and Twitter and all that stuff. Social media was very, very, very new back in 06. I mean, they're using these flip phones. Like a lot of you, some of you listening right now probably don't even know what a flip phone is. But that's what they had. You know, technology was very, very early 2000 in this film. So it's really, really funny to go back and see how we like recorded stuff in our life. You know, we had a little camera on our flip phone and not the greatest picture. But you know, it's what we had back then. Anyways, so we get to this really, really awesome race between Sean and DK down this mountain. They're doing these quick turns. Sean's in that Mustang that we built. DK's in his car that he's always been driving throughout this film. They got these tight turns. They're going back and forth. They're trading places. They're hitting each other. Eventually, DK makes a wrong move, and he flips over down the side of the mountain, giving Sean a really wide window to win this race. on the last turn, DK comes crashing down in front of Sean. Sean's got to like dodge his way around his car, and he wins the race. As a result, DK has to leave Tokyo, and Sean is officially away from the Yakuza hands. So, awesome race. Love it. Probably my favorite race of the film. But, yeah, just really, really awesome way to end this film. The last scene of the film, we get the tie-in with the rest of the franchise, and that is Dominic Toretto showing up to race Sean, aka the new DK. Really cool to see Vin Diesel back. This is really the only, other than Han now, this is really the big moment that links this film to the rest of the franchise. But yeah, it was really cool to see Dominic Toretto here. Furious 7 explains why he's there. And I'll talk about that, of course, more on that episode. But really cool to see Vin Diesel back in this franchise after having a hiatus from Too Fast, Too Furious. So those are the standout scenes. My favorite, probably the chase sequence with DK when Han dies. But love all the racing stuff. Love the montages. I have a lot of issues with it, of course, and I'll get to that in the negatives. But still always, always love rewatching this film. Really, really awesome drifting sequences. Next, we have favorite quotes. First quote I have written down is Sean talking to the detective in the interrogation room. Can I get a copy of that? This is, of course, responding to the detective replaying the camera footage of Sean crashing through one of the houses and getting lift off from a pile of dirt and getting some airtime in the video. Something I probably would have said too. Can I get a copy of that? Really, really funny. Then we have this one from Twinkie. Japanese food is like the army. Don't ask, don't tell. Sorry if if that offends any of my Japanese listeners out there. For early 2000s, it was pretty funny. Now it's kind of insensitive, but, you know, still get a chuckle out of it. This one from Han. You represent me now. What, you thought I was going to let you roll in a Hyundai? Really funny line there. This one from Earl. This is another guy from Han's crew. My mother, she's blind in one eye, and she can drift better than that. This one is Han talking to Sean. I don't care if you're sick as a dog or in bed with Beyonce. I call you show. That's the line that I opened up the episode with. This is another one from Twinkie. I could sell rubbers to a monk. Really, really funny there. Another one from Han. You didn't just play with fire. You soaked the matches in gasoline. And then this one from Dom at the very end of the film. You ready, kid? As they get ready to race each other in the underground parking lot. My favorite quotes, probably the one from Dookie where he says, I can sell rubbers to a monk. I mean, he's hilarious. I love little Bow Wow in here. Just a big businessman looking to make a profit and meet a nice Japanese lady. I chuckle every time with that line. Really, really funny. Favorite car. A lot of cool cars in here. But my favorite would have to be the 1967 Ford Mustang Fastback. This is the Mustang that Sean and the crew rebuild. That was his dad's. Beautiful, beautiful car. I love Ford Mustangs. But this 67 Ford is just outstandingly beautiful. I love the white strip with the black paint on it. Just a really, really nice car. Favorite stunt. I brought this up already, but it is Sean drifting through the sea of people in downtown Tokyo during that crazy chase sequence with DK. Now we get to the negatives. First one I have is DK would definitely be in prison for having sex with minors. I mean, Han even mentions it at the beginning of the film where he's like, you need to move up. You know, you got to get away from these schoolgirls. Got to meet a woman your own age. DK would definitely, aside from the, you know, his link to Yakuza and all the crime stuff that he is and the illegal street racing, he is having sexual relations with a minor. That's a huge red flag. Like, he should be in prison for this. Like, this on top of all the other stuff that he is involved with. Like, that, I had a real, like, today that would not be put in here. Nilo would probably be 18, 19, and DK would be, you know, 20, 22. And here she is in school. She is 17. Like, they specifically point out that she is a minor in here. I mean, Sean is 17 as well, you know, and these two adults, you know, Han, like I said, is around 30, are getting mixed up with these minors, you know. It's really, really messy. Today, this would not be put in there. They would make them in college or something. It wouldn't be in high school. Another negative I had is it's a movie of this time. You know, it's 2006. The dialogue, the music, it's all early 2000s. Just a really, just like Too Fast, Too Furious, The Fast and the Furious. Those are early, early, early 2000 movies, and they really show it. If you notice, as the installments go on, the dialogue and the music and all that start to get a little bit more modern. So to a lot of the younger viewers who are experiencing the franchise for the first time, they're probably not going to understand the way they talk in here. Some of the music, they're probably not going to know what it is. So yeah, then this one always makes my eyes roll. So we have that interrogation scene, you know, Sean's mom ends up showing up here to kind of flirt with the detective, which is another issue altogether, where that's, and the cop is liking it too. It's just, I hate that entire scene. They should just cut that out, or, you know, it should be like a 30-second thing where the detective is threatening jail time. The mom comes in to bail him out. They leave, and then she does the whole Tokyo thing. We didn't need this awkward and weird sexual tension / flirting between the mom and the detective. It's just really, really gross, really, really weird. On top of that, so she pulls out a cigarette in a police station and asks, is it illegal to smoke, when there is a clear no smoking sign behind the detective on the wall in the interrogation room, and the detective lets her smoke. Like, what? Like, this entire sequence is just terrible, terrible, terrible. Then we have Sean being sent over to Japan to avoid jail time in the U.S. Doesn't really hold up. That's just not how it works. You can't just send the 17-year-old kid over to Japan and make him Japan's problem. That's just not how it works. This script would not look like this today. This is a really sloppy script, really weak. It's just a mess of a script. That's why it's one of the lower tiers of this franchise. But the biggest negative I have is Lucas Black's acting and Sean's accent. I don't understand what he was going for with that accent, but it's horrible. Lucas Black is not a great actor. Like I keep saying, he is the weakest part of this film, and by a lot. And there are a lot of weak stuff in here. Like I said, the script is pretty bad. But Lucas Black is the worst part of this film. I'm sure he's a great guy, but he's just not a great actor. He does not fit in this movie. He's in a totally different other movie with that accent. I don't know what that is. Would I rather see, you know, Paul Walker, Vin Diesel, or even Channing Tatum, like I keep bringing up? Like, it kind of puts somebody else in this role, and it would have been 10 times better. I do not care for Lucas Black in this film. And then we have a couple burning questions. So two of them, actually. So the first question I have, would this film be better if Vin Diesel or Paul Walker starred in it instead? Absolutely, I think so. Which one? That's a little tough. I think Paul Walker would make more sense, but I could see the argument made for Vin Diesel starring in this. But, I mean, either way, it's better than Lucas Black. I would have to lean towards Paul Walker, I think. I think it would make a lot more sense if it was Paul Walker. You know, after Miami, maybe he wanted to get out of the country for a while. Maybe he wanted to go visit Tokyo. Whatever. This is where we can get, you know, the first Brian and Han connection. I guess that wouldn't really work because of the way the timeline works. Paul Walker would have been mixed up with Mia and the kids at this point. So then Toretto would have made more sense, I guess, but Toretto would be busy with the events of Series 7. It's just, they would have to rework the entire timeline. They could actually make this film happen after Too Fast, Too Furious. They didn't need to put this in the future. So I think that's another thing too, that it would have worked a lot better if 4, 5, and 6 weren't prequels to this. If they would have just made it a linear timeline throughout this franchise, it would have been a whole lot better. And then the second burning question, what is DK doing today? Will he show up in Fast 11 or Fast 12? I don't know. He probably went to Hong Kong, maybe, or maybe he went to Europe or even Russia. I'm not sure. For all we know, that he could still be in Japan. He just had to leave Tokyo. So I mean, he could have been in a different part of Japan, running another crime organization. Maybe he's still working for the Yakuza somewhere else. I doubt he's gonna show up in any of the other installments. This kind of seems like a one and done for him. Same thing with Neela. We don't really see Neela again. We get Lucas Black and Lil Bow Wow again. But it seems like he's a one and done villain. So the end of the episode, let's go over the Fast and Furious rankings. So here is where the rankings are sitting right now. Number one, we have Fast 5, 2, Furious 7, 3, Fast and Furious 6, 4, The Fast and the Furious, 5, Fast and Furious, 6, Too Fast, Too Furious, 7, The Fate of the Furious, 8, The Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift, 9, Hobbs and Shaw, 10, Fast X, and 11, F9, The Fast Saga. I think 8 is the perfect spot for right now. When I get back, when I rewatch The Fate of the Furious, we'll see if I still feel the same. Tokyo Drift, though, just a bad script. Don't care for Lucas Black or the Sean character. The whole DK dating minors thing is off-putting. Do love Twinkie, do love Han. Love the drifting, love the racing. So that's why it's not at the bottom. It's above these last three, but it's still kind of towards the bottom. Definitely in the bottom half of the franchise for sure. But we'll see when I get to The Fate of the Furious, if I still feel the same, or maybe I feel a little higher on Hobbs and Shaw. I haven't seen that since it came out. But I can't see it going below Fast X or F9. I had a lot of issues with those two. But yeah, it's just not a great one. Definitely one of the weakest plots, weakest scripts, weakest cast. But still enjoy watching it because it is part of the franchise. I love watching this franchise. There is still really cool parts in there. We get the death of Han. So yeah, it's just, it's a decent film, you know, for early 2000s movie. Still better than some of the newer stuff we had. The only new one up here is The Fate of the Furious, but it's very, very small margin between those two. I could easily flip these, but we'll see when I give Furious 8 a rewatch in the coming weeks. But yeah, that's where the rankings are sitting at now. Next week we'll be doing Fast and Furious, or AKA Fast Furious 4. This is kind of where they reboot the franchise, and then this is where it starts to launch us into what the franchise is today with the stunts and all that. So really excited to watch it. It's probably one of the ones that I've watched the least, even though it is one of my favorites. So yeah, I'm excited for next week's episode, and then eventually we'll get to the big behemoths, you know, Fast and Furious 6, 7, and then Fast 5, which is just one of the greatest action movies of the last two decades. So I'm really excited. In the meantime, though, you can find this list along with all the other ones I've done on both IMDb and Letterboxd. All you have to do is just search for Cinemac Reviews. You can find all, I think there's like 70 or 80 lists on there, and I'm adding them all the time. So check those out today. Well, that'll do it for this week's Fast and Furious episode. Tune in next week for Fast and Furious, the fourth film in the beloved franchise. Also, check out new release reactions every week on the show. Next up, it's Oppenheimer, the newest film from Christopher Nolan, which is out now today. So go out to your local theater and check it out, and then come back this coming week for my reaction to the film. Until then, always remember to live life a quarter mile at a time.